This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Finding Your Bliss with host Judy Liebrack, heard every Saturday at 1 p.m. on Zoomer Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Finding Your Bliss, the show that helps you find and follow your bliss. I'm Judy Liebrack, and today I'm joined by the creator, showrunner, and executive producer of Trailblazing Talks with Deanie Petty, Kate Campbell. But there's so much more to Kate, so let me tell you a little bit more about her. Kate Campbell is an award-winning filmmaker, an international actor, and a vocalist. Appearing in the Oscar-nominated film Gone Girl and earning a Maverick Movie Award nomination for her role in Badsville, directed by April Mullen, Kate recently portrayed prosecutor Jamie Glenway in the fourth season of the CBC series In the Dark, starred as Trudy Cromwell in the Bell 5 TV series Bike, and played Edith Wharton in the 16th season of Murdoch Mysteries. Wow. As a vocalist and frontwoman for LA-based bands The Martini Kings and Pop Nouveau Jazz, Kate has performed for high-profile clients, including, get this, the Academy Awards, the Emmy Awards, HBO, Warner Brothers, the Getty Center, Universal, and Disney. She headlined for several years at the Purple Room in Palm Springs and has also sung with Robbie Krieger of The Doors and Jeff Goldblum and his Mildred Snitzer Orchestra. In the past 5 years, Kate has directed and produced 7 short-form projects and garnered international acclaim. Her narrative short film, Boundless, which I watched last night, it is so powerful and excellent, all about the women Air Force service pilots, WASP, of World War II, won 13 international awards and was screened globally. Boundless has 11 cast members, 60 extras, 40 crew, and flying warplanes. And just to link these two episodes even more, Deanie Petty appears in this film as well, and she's marvelous in it. The project is now advancing into international co-production development as a TV miniseries. Kate is the showrunner, creator, and the executive producer of Trailblazing Talks with Deanie Petty, a one-hour TV special celebrating the broadcast icon's remarkable return to network television at age 80. Go figure. And also features 2 other trailblazing women of diverse backgrounds from Deanie's past. Kate is also attached to direct 2 feature films, the women-driven psychological thriller Satisfaction and the dramatic feature Green Mountain State, which was a finalist in the 2022 Sundance Writers Lab. Kate is also a student pilot, proud member of the 99's Women's Flying Organization, founded by Amelia Earhart in 1929. And I should just also add that that special is not just a special anymore. It is now a full-fledged television series. That was obviously an older press release. And I'm going to correct myself because it is on, and I've seen many of the episodes, and it's ongoing. And it's actually on. We're going to hear all about that coming up. Kate, welcome to Finding Your Bliss. So lovely to have you here.
Thank you so much, Judy. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
So I'd love to go back a little bit, Kate, just so the people can get to know you. So you grew up in Haliburton, Ontario, where you performed in local productions and were known for your acting and singing. You also had a connection to Northern Ontario, where your passion for storytelling and music and art kept you busy singing in choirs and performing in plays and studying voice throughout your whole school career. Do you remember that very first time that you ever performed on stage and what that performance was?
Yes, I do. I had done dance recitals and stuff when I was little, but my first acting performance, I was in the 9th grade, and I had to play this kind of crazed fan. It was a student-written play called Love Affair with Hollywood, and I had to scream and faint and kiss the lead boy who was, like, you know, so popular, and I was very, very nervous to the point where I was like, I have to give this role away. I don't think I can do it. And then I just remember once I was on stage and doing it and the audience was there, how elated that felt, like the cheering for getting to express, you know, all the different parts of our humanity, even if it seemed kind of nutso in real life. It was the beginning of so many things. And that was a very pivotal time for me, you know, and the lead in that play, that performance, his name was Bob Sisson. And we were going to go to Hollywood together and we were going to, he was a big Quentin Tarantino fan. And I would, you know, so, and he actually tragically passed in a car accident. So that, you know, having the memory of that with him, very, very formative time for me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you have any footage from that?
I do, actually. Yeah, it's on the writer, Cassie Weyrich, had put it up on YouTube a few years ago because, you know, I was, how old was I? I was 14 at the time, I believe. Yeah. Yeah. So it was many, many years ago. But it's crazy to look back on these things that were always in you and just watching them kind of come out in different ways, or, you know, you're the same person, but you've changed so much at the same time.
And yet it sort of all begins there, right? Like that's almost like you're the point where you get reoriented. I think if you ever fall off, you have to remember moments like that, right?
Oh,
and
yeah.
Just go,
especially,
this is what I love.
Yeah, especially the hometown, the community aspect of it. It was an incredible place to grow up.
Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that fantastic?
Yeah.
What do you love? Because you wear so many hats, and we're going to get to that in a minute, but what do you love about singing and performing? Because I was elated when I heard you sing, because I thought, my goodness, she's a producer, she's a writer, she's a director, she's an actor. You were in Gone Girl, which we're going to talk about, and all these things. But I know that when you sing, you pray twice. I know that singing is a very powerful, powerful thing. So what do you love about doing it?
Well, again, to begin with, I was drawn to music and musicals. My grandmother, who also was the pilot, was very instrumental in music and choirs and live performance. So being around it first and foremost was what sparked that for me. And then wanting to do it and then being terribly shy and not having the vocal power, you know, to express what my soul really longed to express and the pain of that. And I went to Sheridan, I went to music theater. And I think I struggled for a long time to truly find my voice. And I actually found it in LA. And when I was there, I think I was so broken in some of the moments that all I wanted to do was sing. And the more I sang, like I found a great friend to sing with, and we, who, you know, did nothing but have a piano where the living room should be, and hours and hours and hours. So I learned about 400 songs. I grew up singing and I grew up doing all these things, but what was my kind of voice? What was my kind of style? And that was so powerful. And then the opportunities just started opening and opening, and come and sing here and come and sing here. And will you lead this band? And will you do this? Through the sound current, through the power of the voice, and for doing it for creation's sake, instead of, oh, I got to get this, or I got to get this. It was just like a spiritual, as it is when we sing, it's just a spiritual connection. And I really, really longed for it. It was not only that I longed for it, it felt necessary. You know, it felt like,
isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it was really powerful and beautiful.
Wow. What was your kind of singing? Because I feel like you're a bit of an old-fashioned kind of gal.
Yeah.
And that you respond to that kind of music.
I do. I mean, I grew up with all of that. My mom had all the old musicals on and all the jazz and stuff when we were growing up. And, you know, and I feel like there's a nostalgia for me about that sort of time period and how beautiful the songs are, the craftsmanship that goes into them, the melodies. And it's just... It felt like home for me. Wow. It really felt like home. So it's jazzy, but there's, you know, you can have, and I've heard this, it's so great when you merge that world with your own power, with your own truth, with your own sound current, instead of trying to copy the sound of what that sounds like or what you think that should sound like. It's just,
that's so cool.
Yeah, it's just allowing your truth to vibrate through the sound with these beautiful lyrics and these beautiful melodies.
And memories. Right? All of it.
Yeah, exactly.
You wear a lot of hats, Kate. So this is what I find so fascinating about you. You're a filmmaker, you're an actor, you're a storyteller, you're a producer, and you're a singer, which I found so thrilling. Do you have a favorite hat, or do you love doing it all? And does one sort of inform the other?
That's such a great question. I think it depends on what wants to come through, like what is lighting me up in the moment, you know, and obviously you're not lit up every moment of every day that you're doing something creative because you have to like get things done.
Yes.
But it is a general feeling of, I need to follow this through to its conclusion, to its end. I want to sort of draw in other people who are lit up by the same thing that I am. And it's sort of inspiring that action forward, whether that is music, whether that is acting, whether that is creating a project, which I love. I love creating. And I see, I really, one does inform the other and the other inform, you know, it's all sort of intermixed. And I bring all of those parts of me into everything that I do. I feel, I don't feel like I have to completely switch hats, you know? Yeah. Cause you know, my singer is my actor, is my, you know, producer, is my creatress, you know, and it's the art of communication, of how do you communicate to get people on board with your vision.
Isn't that interesting? You are a true artist. Like that's what I sort of recognized instant. I don't, just from watching you sing is when I first felt that. And then I read all about you and I thought, no, this woman is a true artist. And so
lovely.
I totally would love to talk to you about that. And of course, to talk to you about the incredible and wonderful Deanie Petty.
Yes.
But before we get to her series and your involvement and your creation and your brainchild and everything, I want to go back to another credit of yours that I was like thrilled by, which is Gone Girl. Mm-hmm. What was it like filming the movie Gone Girl? That must have been thrilling to be in that.
It was so fantastic. And the casting director, Laurie Mayfield, brought me in for it, to audition for it. And I had super bleach blonde hair. And then I cut it all off and dyed it really dark. And then I went into the audition and I was sitting in a room full of, I was sitting in a room full of bleach blonde hair. And so I was like, you don't have a headshot yet for this. So she brought me in and she was like, no, I love it. It's fantastic. And so she had me read a bunch of times and then I booked it and it was great. It was amazing being on set with David Fincher and Ben Affleck and Rosamund Pike. It was like the whole thing was very, very exciting. And at one point it was really funny because Rosamund had to, it was her close up and Ben Affleck was supposed to be her eye line off of camera. You know, it was kind of a cozy scene we were shooting. So it was pretty tight and Ben was on his phone. And David Fincher came around in front of like 100 extras and all this stuff. He was like, get your head in the game. And probably dropped a few F-bombs. And it was funny because like, Ben is a director too. And I was like, is this actually happening? Or is this a stage thing?
Comedy.
It was hilarious. It was really funny because everyone's like, no. And Fincher's known for doing a million takes of everything, which I found really fabulous because I would love to be able to have the budgets to do a million takes of everything.
Yes.
I would do that too.
That's so great. That's great. You also earned a Maverick Movie Award nomination for your role in Badsville, directed by April Mullen. Can you just tell us briefly about that?
Yes, I played a heroin addicted mother. Very, you know, it's obviously very, you know, character piece. And it was, yeah, it was pretty intense. It had, the little boy was there. He was good. And, you know, I introduced singing into that as well. I think I sang in the audition of that, which was really cool. And then I think it made it into the film, but, and, you know, really wasn't supposed to be there. She was not a jazz singer. But as I was warming up, it was, and the kid was really good with it. And it's very heartbreaking, you know, the story, but it's a really great film. And April is obviously fantastic to work with. So,
wow. So cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about Deanie. And she's been on our show before. She was on, we're in our seventh season. She was on, I think, in season one or two back at Zoomer in Liberty Village. And she was great. But then I heard about this wonderful thing. Someone wrote to us to say she's doing this brand new series. I was like, what?
Yeah.
So you've always had a real connection to Deanie Petty ever since she flew out of Buttonville Airport in her pink helicopter.
Well,
and yes, the city.
But through my grandma, we didn't know this at the time. I was moving back from Los Angeles in the process of moving back here. And, you know, it was 2019. It was the year I was doing Boundless, the narrative film that we've done. So we were introduced by a mutual friend and, you know, we started talking and then I was telling her why I was coming home to do this project. And, you know, obviously I had known about her and we got to talking. And then my mom actually told me that my grandmother knew her from flying out of Buttonville. Yeah. I didn't know that. And that just felt like such an incredible connection because my grandmother was my hero growing up. Like I would call her every day, ever since I could pick up a phone, 2 years old. And she was a constant in my life and is the reason why I created Boundless. And so to have Deanie involved in the project this way, when actually she wasn't involved at first, she was trying to help me get it off the ground by connecting me with other pilots or, you know, just sort of any way she could help. And then I asked her if she would play the role. And so she said yes, and away we went, which was just such an honor. Yeah, it was just, it's so beautiful. And I remember saying to her, you know, you don't have to, and she's so grounded in who she is anyway, it's just fabulous, but I didn't want her to feel, because it had been a while since she had acted, I guess. And I said, you don't have to, literally don't have to put anything on, you just have to say the words because it's you. And I just was so excited to have her in that role. It was very powerful.
The film is beautiful, by the way. Congratulations. I watched it last night. And how can people access that film? Because it's just gorgeous.
Thank you. Yeah, it is now publicly available on my website, katecampbellfilmmaker.com. It's right on the homepage. If you just click on the poster, it will take you to the link to watch.
That's incredible. Yeah, it was just beautiful. And so Deanie's in this film with you, in this Boundless project, which has had many incarnations over the years and has won all these awards. What is happening with that film right now? And she's splendid in it.
Yeah.
And it's splendid. Mm-hmm. It made me cry. It made me, I was on the edge of my seat.
Yeah.
I never wanted it to end. And I understand there's more permutations and computations. It's moving into all kinds of exciting new directions.
Yes, some other directions I can't quite talk about publicly yet right now, but there are some exciting things coming up next year.
Oh, it's really, really, really wonderful. And and again, about your grandmother, it's just so funny, all this serendipity here. So I had a very, very, very special relationship with my late grandmother. Her name was Lily. And my daughter's name is Lily, named after her.
Beautiful.
Love of my life, both of them. And Chelsea, our producer, also had a beautiful relationship with her grandmother. And I think there's something to be said for when you are lucky enough to have that kind of relationship. They've actually said that it really, it's just a very auspicious thing to have had in your life.
Absolutely.
To have had a close grandparent. What was it about your grandmother that impacted you so deeply?
I think it was, and it's funny because there are similarities between her and Deanie in some ways. I think it's the way from my grandmother, she was genuinely interested in people and so genuinely interested in us and what we had to say and never kind of rushed us, and that she was never preachy, that she just, the way she lived her life with such integrity, it just made people in awe of her, just the way she lived her life.
Wow. When was her birthday?
May 27th.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. She's, she was just an incredible woman and became a pilot in her 40s, in the 1950s behind my Italian grandfather's back. And she'd pack him off to the stock market and go and take flying lessons in Buttonville when it was just a grass strip, because she had a fear of heights, fear of flying, and she wanted to overcome it. So when she got her pilot's license, she presented her wings to my grandfather at the breakfast table, and he just spewed his coffee across the room like he had no idea. And, you know, she would take her girls, they'd call it the $100 hamburger run, because they'd rent the plane and they'd go and they'd travel, go for lunch and they'd come back. And it was interesting. I was reading one of her journals, you know, and describing the weather, the, you know, when she went flying. And I was just like, oh, wow. And she was also a social worker. So I think she had such an interesting way of appreciating people and seeing the best in people And again, she was never really preachy. It was just, we just couldn't, even my brother, like, we, and my friends, we all, she would honk her horn when she would arrive at the cottage and we would hear her at the lodge next door, and all of us would leap out of the water and run to help her and form like a chain gang to unload her stuff, you know? And I think the thing too that is important, and I see this in Deanie too, is a sense of humor. Because I was very dramatic, even though I was a bit shy at times. I was extremely dramatic. And she would always sort of say, you know, you're not on stage. Just, it's going to be okay. But she was always finding the humor in things. So,
it's so lovely. Yeah. That's so lovely.
We're going to go on a short commercial break. When we come back, we're going to hear more from Kate Campbell, all about the Deanie Petty Show and all about her own experience as a pilot and her flying career. We'll be right back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by Create, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
Create is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. Create is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, Create is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. Create has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? Create Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about Create Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Hi, everyone. We're back, and this is Find Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio, AM 740. And I'm here with the executive producer of Trailblazing Talks with Deanie Petty, Kate Campbell. And we're talking all about Kate's own experience as a pilot. But before we get into that, I wanted to give a shout out to our segment sponsor, Ashford Cleaners. Thanks to Ashford Cleaners for sponsoring this segment of Finding Your Bliss. Ashford Cleaners is Toronto's best dry cleaner with hand-finished detailing, laundry, tailoring, you name it, and they'll take care of it while always going the extra mile to make sure that you leave with a smile on your face. And they also offer you free pickup and delivery, so it's easy to keep your entire closet ship shape and ready to go. Thanks, Ashford. You're simply the best. Kate, I was fascinated to read that you're also a student pilot.
Yeah.
And I, what I found so interesting is, okay, flying and singing. They're very similar.
Yes.
What do you love about each of these passions and how do they come together?
Oh, such a great question. Well, I started flying in California, flying out of Van Nuys, where they have a lot of jets. It was a very busy airport to learn how to fly. Ooh. And I just loved the fact that I could fly over the ocean. And that's where we were doing slow turns and stalls over Point Dume in Malibu. And then in the same hour or so, we would be in the mountains and snow-covered mountains, you know? But that experience was so heavenly. And there is something about the singing that is that too. It's that soaring above. It's getting a different perspective. It's activating different parts of your brain and nervous system.
Yes.
And it's challenging yourself in a different way. I mean, if you're singing in front of people, how do you stay true to your sound and yourself and you're grounded in the moment so you can share? And when you're flying a plane, how can you stay alive? You know, like basic. And then also enjoy the beauty of it around you as well.
Of course. Were you scared ever? Because it's a big thing to get up and
scared.
Do a plane.
I mean, I was a little scared at first. I think especially on the windy days, you feel everything in the smaller aircrafts. And there was one afternoon, I think my instructor was feeling this more than I was. It was a very windy afternoon and we were doing touch and goes around and around. And, you know, there were big jets coming in and it was a busy airport and we were communicating. And here I am. I'm like, I feel like I'm taking up too much space just to practice landing and taking off again. So it was, yeah, there's a little fear, I think, especially when you're taking off and the wind, you know, kind of blows you around. Or if there's a wind on the landing, you have to really maneuver it properly. So you're coming in with the wind instead of, you know, letting it blow you over. So all these wonderful things that can happen.
What did you say to yourself to ground yourself and to just simmer down and be calm and go, I've got this?
I think breathing, like deep breathing always, it's the first thing to go. I find when there's nervousness, you would know this as a meditation teacher. Yeah, just a deep breathing. And I think going over the checking, you know, in your mind of like, okay, I'm good here. I'm at this altitude. I'm at this speed. This is fine. And even if I'm stalling, practicing a stall where you intentionally stall the plane in order to, correct it, you have to have some kind of faith and trust in the process and in, you know, God, in a power greater than yourself, because it's like without it, I can't do life without that. I know that for a fact.
You know, the saying, when you sing, you pray twice. Mm-hmm. I think that might apply to flying as well, right? Yeah. You're praying.
Yeah.
Yes. But you're loving it and you're soaring. It's really cool.
Yeah.
So as I just mentioned, for anyone who might be tuning in right now, last week on the show, we had on the incredible Dini Petty. So can you tell us about your brainchild trailblazing talk starring the one and only Dini Petty?
Yes, absolutely. So I've been wanting to do something with her again since Boundless for a while. It was just sort of deep COVID for the longest time and it really wasn't appropriate. Yes. And then when she was doing a one-woman show, revamping her one-woman show, and she was supposed to do something at the St. Lawrence Center and it wasn't advertised properly, it wasn't marketed properly, and I was going to go and I was really excited to see it. And then I got an email from her saying the show's canceled last minute. Something happened with the tickets or wasn't promoted properly. Anyway, I got really annoyed and I thought, okay, this is it. Because now we're over COVID. This was, I guess, 2 years ago, September-ish, 2 years ago. So yeah, it was 2023. We were kind of on the other side. We're getting to the other side of COVID at that point. Yes. So I was like, okay. And then it took a while to actually formulate the specifics of what it was. And so it was me kind of going away and creating something and then bringing it back to her and going, what do you think? And then going through so many, you know, once I've set my mind to something, it's like, if I know at the end of the day what it's going to feel like, or like what it has cost, or what it, you know what I mean by cost, but just like the investment of energy and time and energy and all of it. And it's wonderful. But, you know, at the beginning, if you knew all that, you're like, what I have done? No. And absolutely 100% I would do it all over again. But all that to say, it's just taken a tremendous, even though she is Dini Petty, like everybody 40 plus knows who she is in this country. And she so deserves to be back on air. Every time we would have coffee or dinner or whatever, a phone conversation, I was like, why? This is ridiculous. Let's get this back on air. And so it took a couple years to get it to that point. And then we partnered with a broadcaster and who took a chance on us and me and my vision for what this show is. And, you know, it's been an incredible year of growth, of celebration and, you know, reclamation of a place that is so needed to be occupied by older female. We're looking through her lens. We're filtering the questions exactly what you're doing. It's just, you know, we want that visibility. We want it to be a normal thing instead of you just go off into the pasture and forget about it, because, you know, we have it so backwards in this culture where we don't honor our elders and the wisdom. Yes. You know, it's so easy to dismiss, but it's so backwards. And I'm adamant that is changed, because I know how it was for me to have that wisdom and to have that eldership in my life.
Yes.
Was so powerful. And I think we desperately need that, especially from our women.
Aren't you terrific for doing this? Because really, and for anyone listening in our audience, I know they can appreciate this, how important it is to honor women of all ages and especially the wisdom of elder women, because how great what they have to share with all of us. They have so much to share.
100%. And at 80, she's more fabulous at 80. And
she looks not a day over 40. No. I said to her, and I have a sister-in-law who saw her recently in person and said, honestly, she hasn't like aged like a day. And I said that to her. She really is remarkable.
Yeah.
What is your vision for the show? I was lucky enough to see the Briani episode, which I loved, and also the Tanya Williams episode.
Yes.
We talked about that. And, course, Tanya Williams from The Young and the Restless. And
yes,
and love the fact that Deanie interviewed her many years ago and then ricochets to the present and back to the past. And the Briony, I just thought was sensational.
Yes.
So if you can just speak just generally to what your vision is, because I know there's a very distinct vision in the type of guest that you're even looking for.
Yes. I think we want to have conversations, you know, obviously through Deanie's lens, like an older woman's perspective. And she's just so also interested in everything. And she's one of the most brilliant interviewers, is that we are having conversations with men, women, young, old. It doesn't matter. It's just sort of, what are you doing? What are you leaving behind in the world? How are you choosing to live your life? And and what have been some of your challenges? Because I think we all need to hear these stories of hardship and resilience, and to see someone else go before you is to see, to believe what's possible is incredibly powerful. And I think with all of the kind of the insanity in the world is the best way to describe it that I can think of at this time on planet Earth, to have something that is positive, that is challenging in a good way, challenging us in a good way to sort of, well, what could I do? What speaks to me? What's my thing that I want to leave behind? Even if it's affecting one person, how can I make this place better for the younger generation? So it's not only for people who are older and Zoomers, who it is mainly for, which I love. That's what we want to build. It is for people who are watching them and future Zoomers. That's how I want to live. And I'm like, I feel like I'm in training to be in my 70s and 80s.
yes. No, absolutely. So I loved the interview, and I'm trying to remember her name right now. And Deanie had to lift the cases of beer.
Yes.
Marnie Tell us McBean. About that because
yeah.
Marnie McBean, that's her name.
Yeah.
That was wonderful.
Yeah.
Sometimes a visual, you know, this as an actor.
Yeah.
You know, fleeting memories from a show remain with you. I remember once in The Master Builder at the Tarragon, there was a steeple, a church steeple, and they were describing it as made out of like glass. And I remember looking up to the ceiling to see the top of the steeple. And my friend said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm just looking to see the top of the steeple. She said, Judy, there's not really a steeple. It's just, but it was so believable.
Yeah.
So there's something, right? There was something about that scene of her lifting up the imaginary. So tell us about that Marnie McBean episode, because that was so great.
So fabulous. Not only because of their history, Marnie had been on the show after she, I think, had won her second Olympic gold. And was on the show, and they were doing a rowing competition on set with Silk and Lauman kind of guiding it. It was wonderful to see where Marnie is at in her life, you know, as an out senator with her family and their family, you know, and then also Deanie's admiration for her and her technique and her skill, because Deanie is obsessed with the rowing machine, and she'll go, as I'm sure she's mentioned, three times a week to her fitness. So that was to see it. I mean, I was thinking, oh gosh, please don't pull something. But this is a woman who is, you know, you can't tell her, she will do what she will do. She knows herself inside and out. And extraordinary to watch. Extraordinary.
So extraordinary to watch. And she did it like a 20-year-old. Yeah. Oh, that's what I couldn't get over. I was like, and I know she works out 3 days a week. We talked about that on the episode, but like, how are you doing this?
Oh, I can't even tell you. Like, listen, we went to Brian Bailey's studio the other day because we had outfits to get, because Brian is her designer. And so Brian is like 6'7" and he comes out with two armfuls of clothes to the car for us after we had tried them on. I was like, how are we going to get them out there to my like car? And then when I dropped Deanie off, I was like, okay, well, who's the guy who's going to come out and help you? And so she made some calls and no one was available. And she's like, just give me them. And she took them herself up to her. Like, she wouldn't let me help her. And then she called me later and she said, I made it. I was like, you're not doing that again. You do not need to be a hero. Oh my gosh.
Oh my goodness.
Determined is the word I think we're looking for. But I think she's gotten even more fabulous with age. And that's also why I was like, everyone needs to see her again.
So great. So good for you. Good for her. Yeah. Wow. Have you had a favorite moment so far? And I know there's probably been many, but has there been an epiphany where you just thought to yourself, gosh, I'm loving this project. It's so gratifying.
Yeah.
And just had that moment where you have the chills.
Don't answer that just yet, Kate. We're going to go on a short commercial break. We'll be right back. Back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by CREATE, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
CREATE is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. CREATE is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, CREATE is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. CREATE has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? CREATE Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about CREATE Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Hi, everyone. We're back, and this is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio AM 740. And just before the break, Kate, I asked you, what are some of your favorite moments so far on Trailblazing Talks?
I think when we were doing the first episode, we had a small studio audience, and then having the first guest, I think that was so thrilling. And then I had really the vision of all of us being on stage at the end, like on camera at the end. So everyone kind of comes up who has been instrumental in getting into this place, like kind of like an SNL moment. And that was really lovely. I'm glad for that. And then just, yeah, it's watching her light up too with the guest and like back doing her thing. And seeing that is so fantastic to me. I'm like, this is good. We're a good team. This is awesome. You know?
Isn't that terrific? Yes. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Good for you. My goodness.
You.
Are there any exciting episodes that are coming up? And
yes.
Anything to share with us?
Yes. So next Monday is Linwood Barclay, Canadian author Linwood Barclay. And then the week after is this woman who is incredible. She runs the largest online women's studies and online poetry class in the world. And she will like go and rent out a castle, fly and rent it. And to teach that woman in history, she'll dress up like her and she will prompt the poetry and she will teach the reality of her life, not the like watered down version that we've been told in history, you know, whether it's a mythical woman or a woman in history or a modern woman. So she's just extraordinary. And because Deanie is a poet, they read poetry at the end to each other. And it is just like, I was crying, you know, the people walked out of the control room in the back and they were like, we've never seen an episode like that. So it's pretty extraordinary. That will be on the 27th of November. We're in November, the 27th of November. And then one of the final episodes is an Inuit woman, lawyer activist, Ayu Peter. And that was a really extraordinary interview as well, like super powerful. So really eclectic mix of conversations and people at different life stages. And that's really become the vision for this, told through, obviously, Deanie Petty. So.
Oh. It's incredible. What is the biggest golden nugget that you want people to get out of Trailblazing Talks starring Deanie Petty?
I think for me, it would be what's possible. Like, how can I enjoy my aging process? What can I celebrate about myself as I grow? How can I love myself more? How can I help more? How can I open my heart more? Because the world desperately needs us to be lit up and inspired. And we need each other really deeply. And we need to, I think, be in our wisdom as we grow old. There's such a propaganda campaign to hypnotically say, you are not enough, you are not enough, you are not enough. And I want to change that narrative.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're certainly doing that. And we're going to say this again at the end of the show, but just for people who are tuning in now, how can people watch Trailblazing Talks? What's the best way to access it?
So it's on, all the information is on thenewsforum.ca. And because of the Canadian government Meta situation, we can't post any direct links, which is a little annoying. But if you go to the news forum, you will see a list of cable channels where you can access the channel, the network channel. As well, it is available. All episodes are available after they are broadcast online. So all the episodes that have aired so far are online. You just have to look for Trailblazing Talks and they're all there.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
That's how I think I got to watch a lot of them. So that was just great.
Yeah.
So we've talked about this, but I want to go back because for audience, you're in for, and everyone, you're in for a real treat because you're actually hear what we've been talking about the singing. But what I love about you, Kate, and really what I was fascinated about when I was first reading your bio was that you're also a vocalist and that singing and music are a very big part of your life. And they're a very big part of this show as well. Can you tell us, we're going to be hearing you sing very soon, but I'm actually going to go right to it right now. Our audience is in for a real treat today because you're going to sing the song Smile, which you performed at the Martini Kings. And by the way, you guys can watch the video of this as well online.
Yep.
Can you set up the song Smile and what it means to you and why you wanted to sing it?
Yes. So that song, that whole album actually was written by our band leader for the Martini Kings is Tony Marsico. And I had sung with him and the band they created. I've been their vocalist for over a decade. And he wrote this whole album for me to sing. And there's different kinds of songs in it, but the one that is the most popular is Smile. And I have a friend, one of my dearest friends in LA who actually owns the Purple Room. He's like, I play it every day in my car. It's so uplifting. And so it was one of my favorites to sing just because it's such a simple reminder of the simplicity of life and how, yes, gratitude comes in to be a part of it, but that, you know, it's not that bad. It's really bad, but it's not that bad. There are pieces that are still really good. And I think it's very uplifting.
We love that. We love that on the show and we love that just in life. So without further ado, let's all have a listen to Kate Campbell, who is a singer and a vocalist and so much more, singing Smile, which she performed at the Martini Kings. Let's roll that clip.
Somebody loves you more than your lips.
so gorgeous. Thank you for that. That was just so feel good. And your voice is just gorgeous and beautiful. But the whole thing just makes you feel good. So thank you.
Thank you
for that. Oh, I just love that. Do you have anything exciting coming up as a singer that we can look forward to?
It's really funny. I'll have to let you know. I don't have anything right now. This Trailblazing Talks has been all consuming this year.
Do you have any advice for aspiring singers?
Yes. Wow. I would say just keep following your heart, doing the music that speaks to you, whether that is writing it, whether that is performing other people's music that speaks to you, being really gentle on your voice, your instrument, taking care of it, and just letting, again, it sounds very simple, but you will find your people if you're following your intuition, if you're following your heart. You will find those collaborations, those people will come to you, you will go to them. And just keep going.
That's lovely.
Yep.
That's lovely. And also as a filmmaker and as an actor and as a television show creator, any advice for aspiring artists in those areas? Because, you know, you really are a make it happen kind of person. You're very talented, and that's part of it. And let's face it, you got to start with talent, but you really are a make it happen kind of person in all these areas. Any advice for aspiring filmmakers out there or television show creators?
Yes.
On how to do that?
I feel like, and I think anyone who actually can get things done or start to move the needle is so deeply committed. And I think the more you have self-trust, the more you develop the self-trust, and especially in your voice and in your vision, it's easier for other people to trust you and trust your vision and trust to get on board. And they know you're going to do it. You know, they know you're going to execute and that you're leading the charge. Like, it does come down to, I think, doing the best you can, because sometimes things just don't work yet, you know, and you have to keep at it.
Yes.
Finding your stamina, you know, and going, okay, this isn't a failure. What am I meant to learn from this at this moment? How can I grow from this? It's sort of a constant checking in, and then having really fantastic people around you for support. And I've found the best way to do that is to be that for other people as well.
It's lovely. Is there a role or a gig that is your dream gig or role to play or to do to be?
Oh, that's such a good question. I have always wanted to play a singer, like a jazz singer in a film or like a show or something like that, where it's really juicy role. So maybe I'll have to write that for myself. That's what I'm finding. It's like no one handing you anything. You just have to make it happen. So yeah.
I love that.
That would be fabulous.
Will you come back on when that happens and tell us all about it?
I would love to. You've been so fabulous to talk to. Thank you.
Thank you, Kate. There's a question we ask each guest at the end of the show. And of course, I'm going to ask it to you as well. What is bliss for Kate Campbell?
Bliss for me is being in nature, is being around people who make me feel seen and heard. And it's being gentle with myself. It really is. I think we can be really hard on ourselves, and I can be, and at least I know. And the more gentle I've learned to be with myself, the more I can access the bliss.
That's so great. Look at all the bliss that you're bringing to so many people through your singing and through your work and through creating this beautiful Trailblazing Talks with Deanie Petty. I mean, you're creating so much bliss in the world with your talent, and it's so wonderful.
Thank you.
What is the best way for people to contact you, connect with you on social media, and for people to watch Trailblazing Talks?
Yes. So my Instagram handle is Kate Campbell Filmmaker, and my website is katecampbellfilmmaker.com. You can reach out to me there. And Trailblazing Talks, again, can be seen on the News Forum Network, that if you just go to their website, and I will say it's thenewsforum.ca, you can find all of the broadcast channels, cable channels, and you can also find all of the episodes that have broadcast so far are there under Deanie Petty's The Trailblazing Talks page.
That's awesome. It's been a real honor to have you on the program today. I want to thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's been lovely.
And an honor.
So glad we did this.
Me too.
Always go with your instincts. Always go with your instincts. I knew that it was. Each week we spotlight fabulous people like Kate Campbell who are living their bliss. So if you're an actor, an artist, author, yoga, meditation, or mindfulness expert, or really anyone who has found and is following their bliss, we would love to hear from you. Also, what did you love about today's show? Are there any guests or topics you'd like us to feature on Finding Your Bliss? Just write to us at fyb@findingyourbliss.com. And as you know, we also love to feature singer-songwriters and musicians on this show like Kate. If you're a singer, please reach out to us. For those of you who don't know this, I am also the Bliss Coach. That means I help you get unstuck, gain clarity, and find your passion and purpose. Reach out to me as well at findingyourbliss.com/coaching. I'm also on Insight Timer, the number one free meditation app. And all you have to do is search up Judy Liebrack. And of course, you can always follow us at the Bliss Minute on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. And in Bliss News, broadcasting live from the heart of New York City on Saturday, December 20th, it's the 24K Holiday Soiree, a jazzy Christmas spectacular straight from a classic 1960s holiday special. On the show, there'll be a star appearance by their special guest, the luminous singer-songwriter and TikTok and Instagram sensation, Liz Lieber, known as Liz Rose Sings. She's also been on this show. The 24K Holiday Soiree is also starring 24K producers and performers, Lily Liebrack, Jordan Flippo, and Aaron Brochu. So join the live studio audience at Chelsea Table and Stage at 7 p.m. sharp on December 20th for this one-night-only performance featuring big band jazz under the direction of Chris Peebles, dazzling vocals under the direction of Audra Bowers, and high-kicking swing dancers led by Catherine Winter. And again, a fabulous star appearance by their special guest, singing sensation, Liz Lieber, Liz Rose Sings. Tune in for this jazzy Christmas special with classics, and don't forget your dancing shoes. You'll also get the chance to spin and dip as our swing dancers lead the audience members to the floor. It's festive, it's nostalgic, it's full of swing. This season, celebrate the holidays the 24K way with the 24K Holiday Soiree, brought to you by the 24K Theater Company, honoring the past while shaping the future. Featuring Liz Lieber, special guest, Audra Bowers, Lily Liebrack, Jordan Flippo, Christopher Flippo, Aaron Brochu, Benjamin Snyder, Addie Peretti, Angie Pastor, Megan Onello, Amanda Adelman, Monica Rosenblatt, Sarah Goodman. And if you aren't in the New York area on December 20th, the show will also be available on live stream. I'd like to thank our wonderful guest, Kate Campbell, for being on the show today. Also, thank you to Mag Ruffman, Siobhan Kylie, producer Chelsea Lockstedt, Eva Shavitai, Olivia Vigiani, audio engineer Juliana Yanuzziello, senior editor Lauren Kaminsky, video editor Sierra Brown Rodriguez, audio producer Faz Kazi, and everyone here at Zoomer. And of course, a big thank you to our official sponsor, the Create Fertility Center, and also to our segment sponsor, Ashford Cleaners. And as well, thank you to Garrett Florist, our studio florist, for the beautiful pink roses that adorn our set each week. We're going to close out the show today with a short meditation, and it's called A Soothing Meditation for Illness or Injury. Here is a meditation for injury or illness to restore yourself to wellness and good health. Before you begin, just settle back into a comfortable position. Just let everything go and recline back in your chair or lie down on your mat or bed. And really think just about letting go and letting be and devoting yourself to this practice. Let's all begin by taking in a nice deep breath in through the nose, holding it, and then letting it all go in a nice,
long exhale. One more beautiful inhale. In through the nose. Holding it at the top if you can, if that's available to you. And then letting it all go. Lengthening that exhale. And letting it all go, letting be. And just scan your body for any stress, telling each part of your body to relax. So gently bring your awareness to your feet and tell your feet and your toes, ankles and heels to relax and let go. Calves relaxing, knees letting go, thighs letting go, pelvis relaxing, buttocks relaxed, stomach relaxing, letting go of all the tension in your body. Lower back relaxing, full back relaxing, chest relaxing, shoulders relaxed, arms letting go of all the tension. Again, feel those shoulders releasing, neck relaxed, throat and neck letting go. Letting go of all the tension in your throat and neck here. Now moving on to the arms. Arms relaxing. Hands relaxed like never before. Face relaxing. Imagine a beautiful healing white light entering your body from above your head. And imagine this light flowing into every limb, organ, and cell. Imagine that light healing every part of your body, from your head to your toes. What a lovely feeling it is to imagine that healing, radiant light flowing into every cell of your body, helping to regenerate and cleanse and heal you. Breathing in good health. Breathing out pain. Breathing in wellness. Breathing out stress. Breathing in calm. Breathing out anxiety. Breathing in light. Breathing out darkness. Whenever you're ready, gently come back to the space. Open your eyes. Wiggle your fingers and toes. Stretch. Yawn here. Smile. Stretch your arms. And thank yourself for doing this practice. Wishing you rest and healing and a complete return to good health.
For everyone here, I'm Judy Liebrack, reminding you all to take one step closer to finding your bliss.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.